Thanks for being with us. We are in studio today doing our thing, which is, it's fun. We're going to sit here over here on the couch and screw around in a minute with Jordan and Eric. They'll be with us and we'll talk about things around National Letter of Intent Day. So yesterday I went out from here, went out to the golf course. It was just fabulous. Yeah, it was LOI day. But I wanted to get out to the golf course, and we'll talk about that a little bit as the show went on, because I started snapping pictures of people just acting crazy because it was a Wednesday at the Open. It was 78 degrees, and it was just phenomenal. So we went through that yesterday, and then Letter of Intent Day was great. Watched the Suns game last night. The Suns did everything they were supposed to do, which was play well, play entertaining, then not play well, then lose. Just keep losing, and everything will just work out fine for them. The DeMarcus Cousins trade talk, we're going to get to that on today's show. We're actually going to do an itty-bitty bit of Super Bowl today with Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, and then we'll have Goody at the Movies. And Goody's seen a whole bunch of movies. So there's a ton we're going to get to in our hour or so today. But we're going to start out today here on the couch because I've got the guys here. Jordan was over at ASU, and Eric went down to U of A yesterday. And I said, as they came in, I'm sure you guys have plenty of stories. They didn't know they were going to be on today, so you're dressed like a horned frog, and you're dressed like I don't know what.
So. I'm a company man.
It's a company guy. I like that.
You're always a company man, though. Nothing, not just today, every day.
Doing what I can.
Nothing wrong with that. Let's start with you. So Tucson, was it eventful? It was Rich Surly. Is there anything good being in Tucson?
Oh, the one thing that we've learned about Rich is he's completely unpredictable. He started last year's Pac-12 Media Day by coming out and being the first coach up on the podium in Southern California to say, I don't really like Media Day. This is a time where we should all be on vacation. We're not starting practice for another 4 or 5 weeks. Why are we all here? So yesterday, he started LOI Day by basically reaffirming something he said last year about LOI Day.
I still think we should have no signing day. The reasons are long, and I don't want to go through all of it now, but it's ridiculous that two sides don't come to agreement like everything else in life. You make a contract, and the school offers, the young man agrees, his family agrees, and then you sign, and you're good to go. Now, I think there got to be some stipulations in there that if a young man signs after his junior year and the head coach that signed the letter of intent is not the head coach in February of the guy's senior year, he can get out and go somewhere else. That protects the student athlete.
And one of the reasons why Coach Rod was so surly about all of that was, I guess yesterday morning, a kid flipped to Oregon, a longtime U of A commit flipped at the last minute to Oregon. So he's never been a fan of LOI Day. He has some ideas on how he can make it a little bit better. But the good news is, he said, In the past, they had problems getting Arizona kids even to visit the campus. And apparently, this past recruiting cycle, they didn't get all the kids they wanted, but they were able to attract a lot of the big prospects, at least to come down to Tucson and see the facilities.
You lost me. It's fine. I mean,
so in the past, they would go to Phoenix and they couldn't even get people to drive 90 minutes down I-10. At least now they're making the drive.
It's like flipping kids and all that stuff, that's just part of the deal.
I think so. I mean, you don't hear, publicly you don't hear other coaches being as outspoken about LOI Day and its problems as Coach Rod is, but I bet some feel that way.
Yeah, and we have so many early commits, you can't.
How was yours? How was Todd?
It was good. I think the most interesting thing, the area of need they needed to address that they did was defensive back. They have five pretty good guys coming in. Todd claims that they'll be ready to go right away. I'm not sure how many of those guys will be plug-and-play players.
They might need to be, judging from last year's pass defense. Last two years, actually.
Well, yeah, so. But to be up to the level of the Pac-12 in this heavy passing conference that they're in, I don't know, how quickly they'll be up to speed. The interesting thing, they only had one offensive lineman come in, and that's Corey Stevens from Saguaro. They did mention that DJ Davidson, who was a Desert Ridge defensive tackle, he's actually from the class of 2016, but coming in to this class, he said that he's going to start at nose tackle his career there, but they could very well flip him to an interior lineman. So that could help kind of address things. And the one thing he said was he was trying to get the right offensive tackle, a.k.a. Austin Jackson. But Austin Jackson.
Well, when your coach
USC.
Leaves, when Chris Thompson leaves, you're not going
to
get him.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So what was the – what you had some sound here from
Yeah, so
Todd.
Now that we're through signing day, it's yeah. now, you know, Blake Barnett. It just came out that he won't have to sit out. So
the quarterback.
The quarterback, yeah.
yeah.
So it's quarterback battle time. Will it be Manny? Will it be Blake? He was asked about Blake being able to play right away, and he kept things pretty close to the vest.
Season. Well, I mean, obviously, we were happy for Blake and you know, in this transition for him to be able to be cleared and to be able to participate, and you know, so we were happy for him. That's you know, how I felt about that.
So right. Zero information, just
not surprising.
Hey, we're happy for him, and I'm not going to show a reaction. You could kind of see even his eyes kind of dart around when he was asking the question. Like, make sure you're composed. Don't show anything.
Okay, so if we were to show Todd Graham. From 2012 mm-hmm. and show Todd Graham 2017, it's like been this morph where people have worked with him on media training and pull back and don't be as much bravado, which actually a lot of the alums love that stuff. I ran into some yesterday out at the Open. They were going to the signing day event last night. They said, we love it when Coach Graham gets up there and he talks about Pat Tillman and he talks about pride and commitment and character. We love that.
But you know who doesn't love it? Ray Anderson, his boss. And that's the most important thing.
I think, do you think he doesn't love it at all, or he wants him to dial it back some?
Both.
I think he wants him to dial it back some. You know, I think he likes some of it. Really? So you give me the look like you've heard differently
it
internally.
Todd Graham came in, won 8 games his first year.
Sure.
Second year, won 10 or more games. Third
sure.
year, won 10 or more games.
Sure.
Since then, the slide down has been pretty drastic, and I think people can just sort of see through that stuff.
Yeah, when you say you have
some
the most,
humble pie is good from time to time.
And
it's a good thing.
When you claim you have the most talented roster you've ever seen at Arizona State.
He didn't say that yesterday, though.
No, there were zero claims.
They've dialed
like that.
Back.
He is very much. Yeah, he did not make those claims. I think he is a little bit more realistic, and he's more in an analytical role now of what he.
Well,
thinks these guys can be.
Here's the facts. He's got to know this. Rich has got to know this. They're both in survival mode this year. If they win 4 or 5 games, they're not going to be back. That's, I think anybody who's trying to spin it differently than that is just on company payroll and is fooling themselves.
Especially when you consider, guys, that the person that hired Rich Rodriguez is now at Alabama.
Gone.
So when they bring in a new AD, there's a new philosophy, and frequently you get coaching changes.
Yeah. So when the Fitz news broke yesterday afternoon, I was just like, okay, yeah, Larry's returning. I don't think anybody was surprised by this. It was just a matter of send the white smoke through the chimney. We had to report on it because it wasn't out there yet. This is not big breaking news, is it?
No, I don't think so. You know, there was a very small chance it could be a Barry Sanders type thing where he wants to go on and do his own thing. You know, that's not football related, but when you have that much production and he claims that he's, you know, feeling good health-wise, I don't think it's a big deal.
Now I think the spotlight goes from Larry Fitzgerald to Carson Palmer. I mean, when are we going to officially hear that Carson Palmer is returning the Cardinals next year?
I guess I just look at both those stories, and say he's going to return. And
you would think
we're when guys retire, it's usually right after the season is over, and it's usually because they're worn out and beaten down. They just went through an awful season.
And Steve Keim and Bruce Arians know what Carson Palmer is doing next year. And
sure.
That's the most important
thing.
Yeah,
they already know. So I don't look at the Cardinals as suddenly a Super Bowl contender for next year. I don't think yesterday really changed a whole lot in my mind, other than they have a player that led the NFL in receiving yards last season, or catches rather last season. And that's fine. The team didn't make the playoffs with that player. Okay, that's not a slam. It's just that's a fact. So it's not like all of a sudden, wow, everything has shifted. That story to me was inevitable. Mm-hmm. And the way that it was handled was inevitable. I'm going to let a national person know, that national person, even though at the day before it could be 2 days or it could be 2 weeks. Well, it was really 2 hours. And, you know, the Cardinals obviously knew because their social media was immediately on it. So everybody had a heads up. It's just, it kind of gave people something to talk about and to keep the Cardinals in the news cycle for a few weeks. And that's about it. It put some clicks on websites and put some people buying some papers. But at the end of the day, none of that was a surprise. And I think the bigger story around town is DeMarcus Cousins. Like the Suns and DeMarcus Cousins, he's just a load. He's a load down low, but he's a load personally. And if in fact they're trying to bring DeMarcus Cousins here, like that's going to be the end all and solve all of this mess, I'm just not sure that's the right way to go. Do you guys?
He might not just be a coach killer. He could be a franchise killer.
Yes.
But the flip side of it is,
he might be opposite.
If you can get a guy of his talent for what the rumor was, a first round pick, Alex Len, a couple other pieces, go ahead and do it. If it involves Eric Bledsoe or Booker, I say just stay close.
But we're hearing this out there.
But if it's one of those two guards going, that's not the timeline they have for this rebuild to keep DeMarcus Cousins there. And you've seen with Dwight Howard, he goes to a new franchise and he's
crushes it
for 2 years, and then all of a sudden it collapses. And
Houston's a lot better without Dwight Howard.
Yeah,
Lakers are a lot better without Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard,
Cousins
wherever he goes.
At Sacramento is this.
It's a good analogy. It's a really good analogy.
You know, you throw that on there, I think Earl Watson's a good coach, but that's a lot to handle, especially with a super young roster that he could make impressions on.
Devil's advocate, what wins in the NBA? Megastars. And the Suns really don't have any. They have
a couple
stars.
But is he a megastar? Is he really a megastar?
No.
When people tell me he's on USA Basketball.
But he's in the next
tier.
Yeah,
when they say he's on USA Basketball, so what?
He's a tier two star. The Suns only have really tier three
stars.
There's
always something going on with him.
I get it.
There's always an issue.
I get it.
It's like Carmelo. It's just, it's somebody else's fault. There's not an accountability thing.
But Boogie's a lot younger. That's the difference between he and Carmelo when you're talking about him.
Right. Okay, so he's younger, and all of a sudden the fans are going to – when he's been in Sacramento, I haven't found him to be embraceable and likable.
Not at all. No.
And I've heard this from fans about the Suns. They're not embraceable and likable outside of Booker. And even in the case of Booker now, I've had fans were at the Memphis game the other night, were sending me text messages of swaths of empty seats saying these guys look like they've checked out and they don't care. So you've got to be embraceable and likable to a certain extent and
especially,
be able to play.
Especially when you're losing so much.
No, all right, we got about a minute here. So ASU plays tonight at Oregon. They're going to get crushed. And then U of A plays at Oregon State tonight, and they always struggle at Oregon State. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, they struggle.
They lost last year.
Weird, yeah.
Yeah,
it's always weird going to Corvallis.
All right, so this should, though, set up Oregon U of A on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Who's the better team?
I say with Alonzo Trier, Arizona.
He's playing.
Right.
If Dylan Brooks is not 100%, then I think U of A wins. But we're getting a mega matchup on Saturday.
I haven't seen Oregon play enough. I've just seen highlights. But I know they're always very fast. They're always really athletic. And I still think U of A is the better team.
It always seems like about halfway through the Pac-12 season, Arizona drops one of these games in here that maybe they shouldn't. Or it's a pretty good team, but they're the better team. But I think with Trier coming back, they have that push of energy. You know, you saw it against UCLA, and you've seen it all throughout. I think they continue to ride that wave.
And they're not going to have those long spells of offensive droughts with mm-hmm. Trier in there that they had when he was on the bench in his pretty little...
I looked up at SportsCenter, and they said, we're going to be talking about Jimmy Garoppolo's future. It's Super Bowl week. I mean, there's just entirely. Please just get to the game.
They've been doing a week and a half of no football.
Just please get to the
Pro Bowl
game. So Jimmy Vaccaro's next. We'll go to Vegas. Appreciate the guys coming in. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. After Jimmy, we'll have Goody at the movies. Evident from the get-go with Brent that Jimmy's got to be tied into this somehow. And Jimmy said last week, "Yeah, the news will come out, and when you hear it, you'll be very pleased." Well, the news is out, and you've built a studio at South Point Sportsbook. You and Brent and others are going to be a part of a big, big deal. Rather than me just read off something, why don't you fill us in on the blanks here, and then we'll get into the Super Bowl.
Well, first of all, young man, thank you for calling. It's been great the entire year. We probably won't speak again until March Madness, but I want you to know you have a lot of people who listen to you stop into the South Point, so that makes you feel pretty good. The Brent Musburger thing has been in the works for about a year and a half, and it's really not about me. Brent and his nephew, Brian Musburger, and Brent's brother, Todd Musburger, are knee-deep in cable radio and internets and streaming and those things. And I suppose it was decided about a year and a half ago that Brent wanted to come here and maybe get involved in the radio side of it. So naturally, Sirius Radio is a part of it. The Musburger people are a part of it. I'm not a big part, believe me. I am, we'll obviously do some segments. But how it's going to kick off, we actually have the they're having the party tomorrow where they're unveiling their radio studio and all the hype that goes with it, and Brent will be in town to take pictures or whatever. But that just goes through Super Bowl Sunday. And then Brent, first day on the air, which will be 3 hours a day for, we don't know, he don't know how long yet, will start February 27th. As I know right now, Brent naturally is the main focal point, but Al Bernstein will do a couple hours a day, and they're still interviewing people for the other third hour. Like I said, 5 hours a day until we get to close to football, and they plan at close to football there'll be at least 12 hours a day of content, and who knows what from there. So I'm very happy that they do it to South Point. Mike Lewin, the owner, is elated, and we're going to have some good fun with it. And anytime you're in town, my friend, I'm sure I could sneak you over there. Not sneak you over there, bring you over there.
Oh, that'd be good.
Anybody wants to say anything to you. So it's going to be good. It's going to be fun, but actually it's all about Brent. We'll see what happens from here.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's all going to be at the South Point Sportsbook, where they're putting together this custom-built studio. And I think, you know, obviously for us, when we go up there, we'll be up there for March Madness and other things. So pop on in and say hi, Jimmy. We'll absolutely do that. The game itself, how is this playing in Vegas? It reads and hears like it's a little softer than Super Bowl's past. Is that fact or fiction?
It's probably a little both. You're dead in the middle that it's been good, steady action, nothing really crazy on either side, and that's probably for one good reason. The number hasn't changed. We've been, as we call it, in the racket, grinding out business every day. And as long as you don't have to move any number, the side is New England still -3. The money line is, if you want the New England without laying the points, you lay $1.50. Total, we bounce around a little bit from 58.5 to 59. I know there's a lot of people out there who are dying to take under 60 for all the weekend book. As far as like the game itself, maybe a little lagging, but always remember, you know, starting tomorrow afternoon, we'll take 90% of the action that leads up until kickoff. So that's a good sign that we haven't had to move up the number. Bookmakers don't like to do that when your volume is, you know, basically 20 times higher in one day than it normally might be. But the props, we have, like everybody else, a million props out there. Can't get into the crazy ones because we're not allowed to book the crazy ones. But I was just checking the other day. We wrote 400,000 so far. Wow. Just in the props. It's the same old thing with these, you know, $8,000 so far on the coin toss. I guess people want to have action immediately, so we'll see if they win or lose. A lot of money in Willoughby, a safety, two pointy birds, and all that stuff. But as I said, it hasn't been crazy like last year with the Denver bouncing back and forth from a favorite to a dog, the dog back to a favorite. This is a solid 3. I guess, and that's all it is an educated guess, my friend. If you think you know where this number is going to be on Super Bowl Sunday when they kick off, you're better than mine. I would suggest it'll blink to 3.5 in some spots, and that'll be eaten up right away for the so-called wise guys. And from that particular point in time, who knows what's going to happen. I would like to make you a dinner bet on this. It'll never go to 2.5, but has a slight chance to go to 3.5.
Never go to 2.5. Well, it's interesting because Mrs. Sesmat hit me up this morning when I said, I was having you on the show. She said, you know, we haven't gone to Vegas in a long time to see a Super Bowl. I said, we're not going to go this year. But I think I think that in the next year or two, Jimmy, I got to do another Super Bowl Vegas experience, because if you've never done it once, fans, you've got to go do it at least once in your lifetime. It's one of those deals.
What? I don't mean to cut you off, my friend, but you've been so good to me in the South Point. And tell your wife this, you know, the room is on me when you get here. And tell her if you have to go somewhere else, she can bring her girlfriends or whatever, she wants, one of the kids or whatever. The room is still on me. I truthfully thank you for letting me do this. It really has worked out well, I believe, for both sides.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Stay well. There's Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas. Always good to catch up with Jimmy. Yeah, my wife is actually into this a little bit. She's thinking, why don't we go? Well, I'm not begging for a room. I'm not going to go this year. But I think I've done March Madness enough, and we're going to be back up there in March. But this network that they're going to do, it's pretty forward thinking that Brent and his brother, Todd Musburger, and Todd's an agent in this industry. He's been an agent for a long, long time, an attorney. And to put Jimmy involved in it, Al Bernstein is a fixture up in Vegas.
Brent's going to be the VSIN founder, and that's the Vegas Stats and Information Network is what Jimmy is now part of with him in a small capacity. But you bring Jimmy in, Jimmy can open up tons of doors. So it's another place in content, guys. I mean, we have Jimmy on. We've done it for the last 4 years. And 5 minutes every week, and I have people that will ask me, I love the Jimmy segment. I love the Jimmy segment. So we'll have him back on again around the final four. So on the other side, I want to get further back into, because I just glanced over the Waste Management Open, and a little bit more on Fitz. Because I know there's some of you that think that this is the biggest thing ever and that this is going to turn the Cardinals completely around, and I'm just not there. So we'll get into that on the other side, and then Goody at the Movies. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sismat. We're going to have the Open after the show is done today. It's very early on. Phil is not teed off as of yet. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to follow him. Ricky Fowler is, just give you a couple of names that you are familiar with. Ricky Fowler is at -3. John Peterson is in the lead right now at -5. Brooks Koepka is one stroke back, and Hideki Matsuyama is one stroke back as well. I followed Matsuyama yesterday. I felt bad for him. It was at 10, and 16's right next to him at 10, and they had a DJ going yesterday at 16. Of course they did. And it was right when Mark Wahlberg and Bubba Watson were playing. So it was like being in Scottsdale 1 a.m. on a Friday night. And Hideki Matsuyama's trying his darndest just on the other side at 10 to work on his game. And it wasn't happening. And it's kind of cool when there's just a few people and you follow him along and you see how good he is. He's really, really good. Doesn't get a whole lot of attention here in Phoenix. And most golfers don't. I mean, most of you that go to the Open, I think, could care less about what's happening. You just enjoy being out in the sun. It's supposed to be 85 next week. 85. And it's February.
How many people were out there yesterday? I didn't see any highlights. I was making the 90-minute drive down to Tucson and back, but I heard that the crowd was good, and I'm hearing, because of what you mentioned, the weather being in the mid-70s this weekend, they're going to have a slew of people.
We're talking about 200,000 people on Saturday.
Just on Saturday?
Just on Saturday.
Oh, my gosh. I think they had 400,000 total last year.
Yeah, because Saturday, you know, I'm supposedly a ticket broker. I don't know. What do I have here? I've got like a bunch of these that are for today. There's just like stacks of these, you know. They hand you tickets all the time. You guys want to go? Just come on by the studio.
But they're just for today, right?
But I have these for tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday.
Ooh.
And no, I know. And it's great. But you have these people, like I had a friend yesterday whose son sent me a text like 5 minutes before showtime, and he's in Houston. I need four. What do you mean you need four? What are you talking about you need four? I haven't seen you. You know, am I going to be your Uber to get you? I'm not pounding on him. I took care of him, of course. I'm a good friend. But when there's these people that just kind of show up out of the blue, I had a friend that showed up here at the studio this morning. I haven't seen him in person in a year. And he needed a couple of passes, you know. I think Haley's been mooching or trying to get a couple passes. I don't know what her problem is. You know, she's only been here a couple months. I don't know if she's on the Eric plan of, you know, days off and free passes. I don't know that.
I'm her agent, so I gave her the best advice possible when dealing with you.
What is that?
Just ask for what you want. The worst you can say is no.
No, so. That's true. I watched Tiger last night. So Tiger's playing in Dubai, and it's fine that he's not here because – here's what's going on with Tiger Woods, and I'm going to bring this over to Larry Fitzgerald. I'm going to weave Steve Nash into it because I can, and I'm going to do that here in a second. I'm watching Tiger last night, and his back has got to still be bothering him because just the way he walks, and I'm watching it live, he's taking some swings that you just look at and say, man, he's going to grab his back, and he's going to fold up into a pretzel, and he's just miserable being out on the course. And this is not what I want to see out of Tiger Woods. But yet there I was at 10:30 last night in bed watching golf because it's Tiger live at Dubai. And it was hard. It was really hard to watch him. He shot a 77. It could have easily been an 87. It could not have easily been a 67, meaning it wasn't like he was in position to make putt after putt after putt. So I'm watching greatness just hang on. That's not fun. Any of you that love sports inside and out, if you have gone and gotten yourself attached to a player, no matter what sport, and it gets to the end of the career for said player, it gets really hard to watch that player struggle through the end of their run. Tiger's never going to be back again, from what I can tell. I don't know if he's just finally going to take a club and break it over his knee and say, my back is done, I'm finished. But it was brutal to watch him last night. And I may still watch him again tonight before he misses the cut. He's going to miss the cut in Dubai. So that brings me over to Fitz. And I'll give this example to you. When Steve Nash was at the end of his career, and I love Steve to death as a player. I thought he was a terrific person to deal with. We can go back to Steve Nash as a rookie when I used to do this show over at Monty's back in the day in Tempe, and he'd show up and just sit over in the corner. All right, great kid, great young man, great man. Saw him grow up, saw the work ethic, amazing moments. But the last couple of years that he was here, it was really hard. And so me sitting here on the air, I said what I had to say. The Suns need to move on from Steve Nash. Didn't sit very well, Steve. But you got to call it as you see it. You cannot sit here and sugarcoat stuff. It was really hard for Steve. And the Suns got out from under him. He went to the Lakers and it didn't work out. But I didn't want to see him. And I felt like he was just here to sell tickets to keep the lower bowl filled for games. I'd heard that from some marketing people that were down at the Suns. The only reason why Steve is still here is we need to fill the lower bowl. Well, that's insulting to him, and it's not moving the franchise forward. And guess what? 2010 was the last time they were in a playoff game, so they sat around and put off what they should have done earlier. So we've been in this ditch for 7 years. It's not all Steve Nash, but the end was just hard. So now it leads us to Fitz. Everybody that's a fan of Larry Fitzgerald, and I know very few people that are not fans of his, we are ardent fans of Fitz. Fitz treats the media well, that's fine. But most important to me, I don't have to have a guy that talks to me every day. Okay, I don't need that. Some guys in our business, oh, that guy's a prick, that guy's this, that guy's that, he's really hard to deal with. No, we don't get paid for that. We get paid to talk about what they are doing, what they're not doing. Larry Fitzgerald led the National Football League last season in receptions. He led even over Antonio Brown. And guess what? Larry didn't hold this up in the locker room and record Bruce Arians or Michael Bidwell or whomever, Steve Keim, and put it up on Facebook for people to see like Antonio Brown did. Get him out of here. Violate the code. No, Larry would never do that. And so, yeah, we sit here, Eric and I have sat here for the last 2 weeks, and we've said this is how Larry operates. Larry's going to give it to somebody national. Yes, he did. And he'll give his retirement to somebody national. That's what Larry does. His brand is a national, worldwide brand. I feel bad for guys like Kent Summers and Mike Jarecki and those guys. I feel bad for them because they're not going to get the I'm done story. He's going to give it to people way above that, no matter how hard they work at it.
Next year has to be the year, though, right? For Fitz, are we going to be having the same conversation? Say the Cardinals make a deep playoff run, and Fitz has
I don't see the Cardinals making a deep playoff run.
That he has close to 100 catches,
right?
And he's still productive.
Yep.
And his body feels good.
Yeah.
At this time next year, are we going to be? Is he going to retire? Is this the end of the run? Yeah, I know. But the Cardinals haven't been shy about extending older players, especially someone like Fitz, who is the face of the franchise.
Was it fun watching Peyton Manning? I know he went to a Super Bowl, so cut that out for a second. Was it fun watching Peyton Manning in his final year? To me, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't fun.
Okay, different position, though.
And different set of circumstances. Yeah, I preface it with, if Fitz has a great year next year like he did this year,
I'd rather see him leave early than late.
I agree. And I think I personally think next year's got to be it.
I do too,
he's done everything that, except win a Super Bowl, he's done everything else imaginable.
Wasn't it hard to watch Nash?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. And, you know, the circumstances around Steve and the circumstances around Larry, and I mean personal, I don't know those two guys' situations inside and out. You heard stuff, but you don't know. If they need the money, they want the money. I can't imagine Larry needs the money. He's done very well for himself. I think he set himself up well for post. I think Larry could, was it Jordan was sitting on the couch this morning before we started and was joking around about, or was it you, Larry for mayor? And I'm like, aim higher than that. Larry could run for governor. If Larry wanted to go into politics in this state, Larry would do well
of
in
course.
This state in some way, shape, or form.
He's smart enough, and almost as importantly, he's well-connected enough to get where he needs to be if he ever wanted to go into politics.
So, you know, what I don't want to see is the Tiger Woods deal. Like, I would prefer if Tiger just hung it up after what I saw in Dubai last night. He's had over a year to rehab. He's had a few years to rehab. If Larry takes a sharp hit to the knee and blows his ACL early next year, there's going to be those that have said, oh, he shouldn't have stuck around so long. Well, no, because he was still very productive. He's reinvented himself. You've got, if you're going to be relevant in no matter what business you're in, whether it's an NFL player, broadcasting, whatever, if you don't reinvent yourself, you're going to get left behind. And he's done a very, very good job of that. Goody at the Movies is next. We'll talk with Bill about what did Eric put down on the sheet today? The Salesman, The Space Between Us, and The Daughter, with Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. That's next. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time to look towards the weekend. I'll get it right. With Bill Goodykoontz, Goody, of course, Goody at the Movies, Gannett, AZ Central, chief film and media critic. With the Super Bowl here this weekend, Bill, I'm sure we'll have some Super Bowl thoughts, ideas. Did you watch Brent Musburger's final broadcast, by the way?
No, not live. I've seen it since.
Yeah?
I'll tell you, the one that I did watch live was when he left, when he did his Final Four with Billy Packer, because I had just, I believe it was my first or second day of work for the Arizona Republic, and they were putting me up in a hotel before they sent me to Kingman for a year.
To Kingman, get out of here.
but I had a really nice room for a week. It was great. And you know, we used to have money back then, so they'd spend all this money. But I watched it. I did watch that one, but I didn't watch this. And I like Musburger because I'm old and I like the NFL today, and I liked Irv Gross, and I liked Phyllis George, and I liked all that stuff. And I never much cared for Jimmy the Greek. But he certainly added something to the show.
What's interesting, I just had Jimmy Vaccaro on about 15 minutes ago. So Musburger is opening a network at Jimmy's South Point Casino. They're building a studio. They're going to have other people involved with this network. And so he's going all in on gambling. That gambling is what he sees is going to be a new medium in our country. You and I have been in this space where gambling used to be viewed as taboo and just kind of sort of something shady and shaky. And now it seems as though, Bill, the gambling and analytics are becoming more and more mainstream in sports.
Yeah, and I don't know what the sea change was. I mean, maybe it won't happen now, but, you know, there may be a football team in Las Vegas, and the NFL wouldn't go there for a long time because of the gambling. But I don't know why it changed. People gamble more than ever before. I just think I've never, and I kind of wish it's not for any reason. I've just never been around it. I've never actually bet on the game or something. I've always kind of wanted to, but I've just never been in the position to do it. But I remember being at the Super Bowl in 1996 when it was Dallas and Pittsburgh here, and I sat in the best seat in the house, and the person never came, so I sat through the whole game. And sitting behind me was this guy, and something happened. I forget, Dallas scored or something like that, and he's like, ugh. And I turned around and I said, are you a Cowboys fan? He said, no, I don't care. I just lost $250,000. I was like, what? And this is like 21 years ago, you know? And I was like, what? And he said, why? He said, I'm a gambler. I'm a professional gambler. And that, you know, this happened and that happened, and now this is going to happen and da-da-da. And there's really no way for me to win it. And I was like, oh, my God. I said, if I had just lost $250,000, I'd be more upset than you are now. And he said, hey, I do it for a living. I'll make it back tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But I don't know. But I think that Brent Musburger and Al Michaels are the two that always, on the announcing front, they're always the ones who, with a wink and a nod, and sometimes not even that, will tell you about the spread and stuff.
Well, he's got.
I've always thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, Brent's going to have Al Bernstein involved with him, and I haven't seen Al on the grid in a long time, so I think that's going to be a good deal.
Get all his old friends.
That's right. Get the band back together. All right. In terms of movies, you've got three independents this week, right? The Salesman, The Space Between Us, and The Daughter. Those are all indies, right?
I think The Space Between Us is wide. I think I think that one's going everywhere.
All right. Well, why don't we start with that one though? The Space Between Us. Is this good enough for long? All right. This doesn't sound good. All right. Tell us about The Space Between Us.
Well, it's about Asa Butterfield, who was Hugo in the Scorsese movie a long time ago. He plays this guy. The premise is very intriguing. He's born on Mars. His mom is part of the first colonization of Mars, and she doesn't realize, or maybe she does. I can't remember. But anyway, she's pregnant, so she carries him to term on Mars, which I don't really understand this, but they say that it'll change his DNA and it'll make him different and all this stuff, and he may not be okay for Earth. But he gets to be 16, and he, of course, this is set in the near future, so he does social media and Skypes and stuff with this girl named Tulsa, who's sort of a bad, misunderstood kid, and he wants to see her, and eventually, so they move him down to Earth, and then he's going to die because his organs, and they're going to go all around and see the country and find his father and blah, 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 and it's real. It's very much, the ads don't make it look like this, but it's very much like a teen movie. And it's not, there's not a lot of depth and stuff going on here. I like him fine, and he's nice, and I interviewed him, but he's too young, and he was sort of boring because he just sort of gives you the regular answers. I like the people that, I also talked to Keanu Reeves this week, and he'll go off the grid a little bit more. I like that more.
Keanu Reeves always does stuff that you look at and just kind of shake your head outside of Matrix, right? I mean,
but I like the guy. Maybe I've told you this before, but whenever I talk to these people, I always want to see what they're going to be like. And I'll always say something when my kids were little. I would say, hey, just so you know, you may hear the screams of a 4-year-old girl before this is over. Don't let that bother you. Because, my kids are around.
Right.
And, either they laugh or they say something. But Keanu Reeves is the best ever. And when I told him that, and this was years ago, I told him that, and he said, outstanding. And I thought that was so funny. And I reminded him of that. Of course, he didn't remember, but he's like, oh, my.
That's good. That's good. All right, The Salesman. Tell me about The Salesman.
Excellent. You should see it. It's really good. And
really?
It's got political ramifications. It's nominated. It's Iran's nominee for the best foreign film at the Oscars. And the director actually won for a great movie called The Separation in 2012. The thing that's going on now is because of the immigrant ban. There's some question whether they could anyway. The director, who's great, and the lead actress who works with him a lot and is also great, have both said, we're not coming. We're going to boycott it because of the ban. There's some question as to whether they could come anyway. I mean, they may not have been able to. So that's drumming up some, maybe it's for all the wrong reasons, but if that gets more people to the movie, good, because this is something you should see. It's set in Iran, and it's obviously, and the backdrop is this couple. They're performing in an Iranian production of Death of a Salesman, but something happens to her, and the way that they have to deal with it is a whole big part of the story, and what Iranian life is like, and what you can and you can't do, and all that. It's really good.
It looks good. I'm watching the trailer as you're talking. It looks good. This looks like it's something.
She is just fantastic, but it's just interesting, and it's also interesting to me. This is how small town and parochial I am, but it's just interesting to me to see these people in these movies and then talk about, you think of these people in Iran, they're probably just actors for a while, and then they go and do their other job or whatever, and it's like, no, they're actually actors. This is what they do for
this
a living.
What they do. Yeah,
and she goes to con, and everything, and she does, she's, they're not, but it's just interesting their take on it and the way that kind of the world is right now. And what's going to come of it. So I hope, if nothing else, I hope that does at least get more people to go see the movie.
All right. Final one is The Daughter.
The Daughter is one of those things. It's got literary credentials. It's based on an Ibsen play called The Wild Duck. And it's got a decent cast, or actually a very good cast. But it's too melodramatic. It's like this this, they're going to shut down this Australian logging firm, and they, a son comes back home, and he's insistent on revealing all these family secrets and all this stuff, and it just, I mean, too much happens, and it's, but not enough that you care about.
That's it.
Which I would. That's something that I wish that, after I said that just now, that's a line that I wish I'd actually used in the review. I should have thought that through a little more. I mean, it's like you look at the cast, and there's all these people in it that that are usually so good. Like Jeffrey Rush is in it, and you know, Sam Neill is in it, and all these people that are usually really good, and it's just like, well, you know. And by the way, there is one really great performance in it by a girl, actually, who the teenage daughter, who's kind of played a big role in all this melodrama that's going on in this this little logging town. And I mean, it's atmospheric and all that stuff and moody. And if you're a big Ibsen fan, I guess you could go see it. But otherwise, I mean, you got better stuff to see.
Yeah. Well, The Space Between Us, you had me for about 20 seconds. And then when it was, he had to return to Earth and met a girl from Tulsa, I'm out. The daughter.
her name is Tulsa.
Yeah. Oh. So a girl's name's Tulsa. So I'm still out. The daughter, yeah, you lost me. You lost me on it at like 5 seconds. And I can just tell in your voice. Don't. The Salesman sounds excellent. Like, I've got to go see The Salesman. So take my
if
wife.
You go to see The Salesman. If nothing else, go to see The Salesman so that when you're watching the Oscars.
Yeah.
It may well win or lose. I think it's going to get talked about. So.
All right. Stay well. Appreciate it as always. Thanks.
All righty. Bye.
So Bill Goodykins, Good Eat the Movies. Good stuff. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now. Pro, college, high school, college, pro. Makes no difference to me. Things around the state of Arizona. Things that we see that are just not, in my opinion, covered enough or well enough. Or just differently. That's what we do. Just kind of roll with it every day. It's like this show. We just kind of roll with it. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. He didn't screw up today. Edwin was the assistant. He did screw up today. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of everything. He never screws up. Jordan Hamm, Haley Stasiak, our cast of thousands or millions or whatever. I'm Brad Sussman. Thanks for being with us.